This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. Over 15,000 people joined the petition to save Saeed in 24 hours, bringing us just 5,000 away from 350,000 people. Can we get there today during radio? We'll talk about Pastor Saeed on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
In September 2012, American pastor Saeed Abedini was arrested while building orphanages in Iran. Since then, he has been sentenced to 8 years in one of Iran's toughest prisons.
A new letter we have released from Pastor Saeed, dated February 18th. We had it translated to make sure everything was accurate as we give you exactly what he wrote.
My dear friends, the conditions here get so very difficult that my eyes get blurry, my body does not have the strength to walk, and my steps become very weak and shaky. Various bullying groups, the psychological warfare, almost a year of not seeing my family, physical violence, actions committed to humiliate me, insults, being mocked, being confronted with extremists in the prison who create another prison within the prison walls, and the death threats.
Saeed, this is Bart for Mercy Me, and we are praying with everything that we have that you are home free and soon.
Hey, Pastor Saeed, I'm Michael W. Smith. Just know that we got your back in America. We are praying for you and for a quick release. Stay strong.
And after all of these pressures, after all of the nails they have pressed against my hands and feet, they are only waiting for one thing, for me to deny Christ. But they will never get this from me. Yesterday when I was singing worship songs, the head of my cell room attacked me in order to stop me from praising. But in response, I hugged him and showed him love. He was shocked. It is during these harsh conditions that I deeply need God's saving grace so that I can be the fragrant scent of Christ in the dark house of Evan Prison.
Pastor Saeed, Stephen Curtis Chapman here. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Bless you, brother. Thank you for what you're doing. I look forward to meeting you face to face, shaking your hand, hugging you, and doing work together.
I now know that I have not been forgotten and that we are together in this path. God gives me grace. This is my message for the church. Stay strong for his glory. He will come back soon. Be with God and give your best efforts for his kingdom. Pastor Saeed, servant of Jesus Christ in chains for endurance of the gospel. I love you all.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Close to 350,000 people. Yesterday, just on radio, over 1,400 of you picked up the phone and dialed 877-989-2255 for Pastor Saeed. But that's not it. Over 15,000 people joined since noon Eastern time yesterday. Over 15,000 people joining the petition to save Saeed. Now, this petition, you can sign at aclj.org. You can also call 877-989-2255. I know we can get to 350,000 people today if you will take a stand. That's 877-989-2255. We may be able to get to 365,000 people by the end of today. But I think during radio, we can get there. If you go to aclj.org, or you call now to add your name to the petition. It's absolutely free at 877-989-2255. What's it like in Evin prison? We're going to be talking tomorrow to Marina Namat. She's going to be on the broadcast. She spent 2 years there. Listen to her as she talks about what it was like when she arrived at Evin prison, bite one.
I was taken in upon arrival. I was blindfolded. They took me into a small room in Evin prison. They tied me to the bare wooden bed. I was lying down on my stomach, and they lashed the soles of my feet with a length of cable, the favorite method of torture in the Middle East. With every strike of the lash, your whole nervous system explodes, then is magically put back together, and you're wide awake for the next strike.
That was one lash she was talking about right there. That was on day one of her 2 years in Evin prison. We'll be talking to her tomorrow. Folks, if you will take a stand for Pastor Saeed, call now, 877-989-2255. If that's like day one, it's no wonder that he's writing the letters now saying, you know, it's tough to walk, it's tough to stand, it's shaky when I take steps. We've got to pray for this pastor, but we also have to work for him. 877-989-2255. That's the toll-free number you call. You can also sign at aclj.org.
Mm-hmm. The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And as we speak, the second attempt at a cloture vote for Chuck Hagel, one that is expected to move forward to get those 60 votes as Republicans, Shelby in Alabama and some others have said they would vote yes on cloture. That means the nomination will move forward and a vote will be allowed sometime this week. Likely tomorrow on the actual nomination. So this is not the confirmation vote. This is the cloture vote, which allows them to get to the confirmation vote. But this is the one that you've got to get that 60 vote threshold, the little bit of a supermajority to get over the filibuster. That is occurring right now as we speak. Not moving real quickly, but we will bring you updates on that as well. David French, a senior counsel with the American Center for Law and Justice, joining us right now. And David, we were talking about during the break the broader sense of the mess of Christian persecution and the rise of some of these radical regimes, even at our own hands, as if we are empowering, whether it's in Libya or Egypt, and acting as if we can topple governments and help people topple governments and then have no influence whatsoever.
Yeah, it's astonishing. When you look at the raw numbers of dollars that we send to Muslim regimes that persecute Christians, and I'm not talking persecute as in an occasional rogue judge in a community that defies a religious liberty protecting constitution. I'm talking about subsidizing of regimes that by policy, by practice, and intentionally discriminate against Christianity. It is in the billions of dollars that we provide to these regimes. And we provide it often no matter what they do. No matter what they do. And Egypt is the prime example.
You know, folks, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've got a new post, too, at aclj.org. And it plays in line with the Oscars. Argo takes home the Oscar. Of course, Argo about the situation in Iran in the 1970s with our own embassy staff. And yet there's an American still hostage in Iran. And I will tell you, folks, talk to a lot of people. If you've seen the movie, and especially those scenes at the airport, that's the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. That's who arrested Saeed the first day, pulled him off the bus. That's who stopped him at the airport before. That is what it's like for so many people there. You don't know if you're going to be the one chosen that day to be pulled to the side. And it basically spun around into a trap. And now that trap has lasted for Saeed since July. So, I mean, think about that. July, August, September, October, November, December, January, and now February, almost over. Folks, all because of his Christian faith. He was back setting up an orphanage, which had been agreed to by the Iranian government. This is how they turn on their own people. He has not seen his wife or children in almost a year, but he hasn't talked to them since early January, has not heard his wife's voice. His daughters, his son, his six-year-old daughter and four-year-old son have not gotten to hear their dad's voice. And they're starting to ask questions as well. You know, where is he? When's he coming home? When's he going to be back? I mean, this is the point it's at right now, where a six-year-old and a four-year-old can start picking up on that something is wrong. Which is why when we got to over 300,000, we got to over 330,000 so quickly, we realized we could get this to 500,000 if we pushed. And if we pushed all of you listening right now to pick up the phone and call 877-989-2255 and stand with Saeed. I know there are people out there. There's a couple hundred people who've already called today. That means there were a couple hundred people that had not yet signed. So if you have not yet joined this petition, you don't want to be left out of this. You want to take a stand on this one. Call 877-989-2255. I want to go back to some sound from Marina Namat. She will be on tomorrow. She spent 2 years. She was arrested when she was 16 years old. 2 years she spent in Evin prison. She wrote a book about it as well, which we'll talk about tomorrow. That's called Prisoner of Tehran, a Memoir. So from 16 to 18, she's being tortured, beaten, told she will die. Take a listen when she's asked what it's like for Pastor Saeed, Bite 5.
What is this pastor then up against in this jail?
He's up against insanity. That's what he's up against. Converting from Islam into Christianity, which is what he did, is basically, according to Iranian law, it could be punishable by death.
Yeah.
So the situation is very dire. It's very serious for him.
And this is what she says you have to do for people after saying how dire and serious this situation is. It could be punishable by death for Pastor Saeed. This is what she said you've got to do and what people did for her, Bite 4.
And please get your voices heard. The political prisoners in Iranian prisons right now, they would like to hear from you. Please get your voices heard. Please support Iranian political prisoners.
Now, Saeed said he knows he had not been forgotten. Are you going to do exactly what? This is, again, a former prisoner for 2 years. 16 years old, she was arrested, tortured, beaten. She describes it in detail. And she says, you get your voices heard. That's what they need to know. Are you going to let your voice be heard? Are you going to help us get to 350,000 right now? Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org. Let me play another soundbite. If you're still saying, why, Jordan, do I need to pick up the phone and call and join this petition? Why do I need to speak out? Well, this is another political prisoner that was in Evin prison. Here we go, Roxana Sabiri. This is about the media. This is about doing the interviews, about speaking out. Take a listen. How does she think she got out? Bite 13.
My parents did a lot of media interviews, so much so that the Iranian authorities were rather upset about that, and they said these interviews are bad for your daughter, they're not going to help her, which meant that they're good for me and they were helping me. So I think my parents did a very good job in trying to bring attention to my case. I felt like I was being strengthened to know that I wasn't alone anymore. I didn't have to face my captors by myself anymore. This is what is so important for political prisoners today, is that they have people aware of their plight and also try to bring attention to their case.
That's what's so important, to know I was not alone anymore. It strengthened me to know I wasn't alone anymore, that I didn't have to face my captors by myself. Sound familiar, folks? That is why you pick up the phone right now and add your name to our petition. I know you're out there. I know, because we're adding so many people, new people, every single day. 1,000 people in an hour on radio just by the phones. 5,000 people online in just a day. 15,000 yesterday in 24 hours. Over 15,000 people. You're out there. This is why we need to hear from you. We're not doing this to waste your time or our time or Saeed's time or his wife's time. That's why she does all those interviews. Just like Roxana Sabiri's parents did the interviews, Nagma Abedini is out there doing those interviews. It's not easy. It's not pleasant, but she's doing them because she knows it's effective. Will you pick up the phone and call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Tana calling in from Indiana online too. Tana, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hi, Tana, you're on the air. Doesn't like Tana's there. Folks, let me go to David French. David, Again, when we talk about the issue of Christian persecution and the opportunity to be involved in what we talk about when it is living the New Testament, and nowhere in the New Testament does it say this persecution will stop. But we grow up, and most of us have grown up in a place like the United States. Those who have immigrated here, many understand the persecution issue, but those who haven't, and you don't work in this, and you hear about this, and you almost wonder if it's even real. And you have to be constantly reminded that it is real, and it's very rare that you're even going to hear about it before someone's dead, unfortunately, before someone has disappeared, that you can actually do something to help.
That's exactly right. And doing something to help here, you know, when we talk about this petition, this is an age-old, time-tested method of helping political prisoners, of helping those who are persecuted. Going all the way back to prisoners in the Soviet Gulag, when school kids would write letters to Soviet authorities. And the whole thing here, the whole point is to make it more difficult for the totalitarian regime to hold the person than it is to release the person. When you create an outcry, when you create an international outcry, what you do is you create difficulties for that totalitarian regime. They want to be out of sanctions. They want to be respected and accepted in the international community for economic reasons, for military reasons. And when you raise an outcry, you make things difficult for that regime, and it becomes easier for them to just go ahead and release the prisoner. It's reminding, you know, the parable where Jesus was talking about the person who kept going back again and again and again to the ruler, making a request, and finally the ruler granted it. That's what we're doing here. We're going back again and again and again, relentlessly, with a time-tested method that's worked. It worked last year with Pastor Youssef. So that's why I think people have really caught on to this, because they've seen it work in the past. They know it can work in the future, and we pray that it works in this case.
Folks, we want you to add your name, and you have an opportunity here to add your name to this petition by calling 877-989-2255. It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost a thing. You've heard from Roxana Sabir. You've heard, again, from Marina Namad as well, about what this situation is like, that you need people speaking out, that that is the key to getting you home, to getting you out, to stopping the torture, to getting you back to your family. Whether it's your parents or your wife and kids here in the United States of America, that's what it's about, speaking out. If you have not added your name to this petition, this is the time to do it, folks. You pick up the phone and you call 877-989-225. Don't be left out of this one. Call now, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. The torture begins on day one. I think you can pick up the phone. 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this, because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls. If you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The cloture vote for Chuck Hagel going on right now. The vote is not in. We will let you know. It looks like they will get to the 60, which means a vote on his actual confirmation will be moving forward probably tomorrow. So we'll update you on our twitter.com/JordanSekulow on my Twitter feed there. But also, if they get to it while we're on the air, we'll, of course, report it to you. Tana is calling in from Indiana online, too. Tana, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you. I love your program. I appreciate everything that you've done, especially for Pastor Saeed. I'd just like to encourage the audience listening. What I did Sunday, this past Sunday, is I took my smartphone and I microphoned the letter that was written by Pastor Saeed and let my whole church hear it. And this Sunday, we're putting it in the bulletin, how to sign the petition. You know, to me, it's a letter to the churches, and I'm just thankful that you're able to air it the way you have.
Well, Tana, thank you so much. You know, we've got the audio of that. We also have a video of it. I want to thank you for getting that in the bulletin as well. The petition, again, folks, you go to aclj.org. You can, if you're by a computer, you can do that. Sign the petition online. It's very quick to do so. You can also pick up the phone. It's absolutely free to call right now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We have added almost 700 people just in the first 22 minutes of Jay Sekulow Live today. I think we could get to the 350,000 mark, folks, if you will take a stand with us by calling 877-989-2255. Tana, you talked about the audio and what it's like to hear the letter, which is, can be very important. Here's part one of three. We've broken that down for folks so they can focus in. Of Saeed's letter came in last Monday, February 18th.
February 18th, 2013. Writing from my heart. My dear friends, the conditions here get so very difficult that my eyes get blurry, my body does not have the strength to walk, and my steps become very weak and shaky. Various bullying groups, the psychological warfare, almost a year of not seeing my family, physical violence, actions committed to humiliate me, insults, being mocked, being confronted with extremists in the prison who create another prison within the prison walls, and the death threats. It is interesting that because I am a Christian pastor, I am carefully watched. I am expected to smile at them despite what is being done and to understand why they are doing all of these things. But, of course, I can clearly see what is going on, and because I want to serve God, I see all of these difficulties as golden opportunities and great doors to serve. There are empty containers who are thirsty for a taste of the living water, and we can quench their thirst by giving them Jesus Christ.
Folks, I mean, that is just part one. I mean, he's being watched because of he's a Christian. Let's go right to the phones. If you want to add your name to that petition, folks, that is from Pastor Saeed, his own words from just a week ago. And he's had to endure that for another week. You know, it's Tuesday. That letter came in early last week. We released it to you on Friday after we had it all translated and put together for you so you could hear the audio, watch the video, share it online as much as possible. And, folks, we want you to take a stand here. We want you to do something for Pastor Saeed, and we know you're out there. We know everybody has not signed on to the petition yet, because if they had, we wouldn't be at over 700 today. So call now, folks, 877-989-2255, adding your name to this petition to save Saeed. People have asked, does it matter where I live? Does it matter what country I'm in? Does it matter if I'm not a citizen? Absolutely not. This is an international, global petition, but it is an American, Pastor, folks. This is an American we're talking about here. So you're going to take a stand for this American who's got a 6-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son, an American Christian tortured in Iran every day. And all we're asking from you is prayer and to pick up the phone or sign the petition online at aclj.org. It makes a difference. That is what everyone has said who's been in this position, who has tried to get out of Evin prison. It's about people speaking out, people raising their voices, and that is what you have been doing. I thank those of you who have done an amazing job. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Raj is calling in from Virginia, line one. Raj, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Bravo, bravo, and glory to God. I'm so glad that, Jay, you have raised this consciousness among all the people of God and the pastors. And my heart,
thank you, Raj,
to you all, what you're doing. The emphasis which the previous caller made about multiplication, forced multiplication, each one of us to reach out to 8 or 10 people we know who are not able to listen to the broadcasts and so on. That would be so great. And I'm concerned at this point about cabinet appointments, about the Chuck Hagel vote, and these things are happening even as we speak. And the need for prayer, the need for God's people to rise up against this. These cabinet members have been the very worst in the whole history of the United States.
Well, listen, Raj, I can understand your concern. You know, we're talking about Chuck Hagel. Thank you so much for speaking out. I think you're absolutely right, by the way, when you talk about adding on your friends. And David, we haven't spent as much time on it today. We've been focusing on Saeed, but this Chuck Hagel nomination moving forward, as it appears it will get through the cloture vote, it's troubling, as Raj said, to say the least.
Oh, it's incredibly troubling. And Jay had an op-ed in FoxNews.com last week that really talked about something we haven't talked about enough. I mean, when you talk about Chuck Hagel's record, it's so bad that you almost don't even know where to start. But let's not forget that all the way back in 2007, he was calling for cooperation with Iran just a few weeks after Iran had committed acts of war against American troops in Iraq, engineering an operation where 4 American troops were kidnapped and killed. And that was from the Iranian Al-Quds force. And so Chuck Hagel, knowing full well this is going on, still calls for cooperation with a country committing acts of war against us. And that's just one of so many examples that you can come up with where Chuck Hagel seems to be soft on Iran and hard on Israel, which is exactly 180 degrees the opposite of what an American Secretary of Defense should be doing.
You know, folks, I want you to take a stand here. You know, all these issues, I think, come together. It's all about how America is perceived in the world. And the fact is, we've got an American who's been in an Iranian prison since June, okay, since September. He was under house arrest from July to August, and then arrested and put in prison in September, all because of his faith. They have not accused him of anything else, nothing. And that is rare for Iran, even. Usually they try to come up with something. Folks, are you going to take a stand here? We're close to 1,000. If a couple hundred of you pick up your phone right now when I give you this number, we're going to get there. And I know through online as well at ACLJ.org, we're going to be over 350,000 people. We're well on our way to 500,000 for Pastor Saeed. It's already the biggest petition in the ACLJ's history. And we've had big petitions, and it is gaining steam, still gaining momentum. Will you pick up the phone right now in this remaining minute of the first half hour and call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. The torture begins on day one. As Marina Namat said, she said, you know, the first day they bring you in the room, they tie you down, they beat your feet. And they wait every time for each lash until your nerves have kind of come back together again, and then they beat him again. Folks, that was day one. He's been there since September. He's an American and a Christian, a convert from Islam. Imagine his treatment. You don't have to imagine. You've heard his letter. You've read his letter. You can share it online. You can join this petition at ACLJ.org, or you can take a stand by picking up the phone and calling 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or online ACLJ.org. Another 30 minutes. Remember, ACLJ.org. You can listen online.
The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Move along like I know you do. And even when your hope is gone, move along, just to make it through. When
all you gotta keep is... Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're going to go right to the phones. I want to take a call right off the top of the bat. Edison from California has been hanging on. We're talking about Pastor Saeed. And Edison, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great.
My question is about how can he send a letter that is so secure over the secure device?
Yep, he's able to communicate the letter out. I can't get into a lot of detail, Edison, but I think you understand how dire that situation is. But you get to a point where you will go to great lengths to communicate your message to the world. And he trusts us that if he does that, that we will communicate that message to the world. And that's absolutely what we've done. And, David, that is what is important here. I'm not going to get into the details of how, but remember, he does get meetings each week on Mondays and with family most of the time, very brief. And remember, he had a couple months to prepare for what was the coming imprisonment. He was under house arrest from July to September, so he knew what was coming, and I think he was preparing for it, Edison. That's as far as I'll get into it, and I understand, you know, your question there. But, David, that is what is, again, we have gotten to a point with Pastor Saeed himself where it's so dire that he is willing to take that risk that there may be retribution. I'm sure there is, to some extent, for getting this message out.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I mean, there's been retribution for him just being a Christian. So getting this letter out is an act of courage. Going to Iran to build an orphanage, an act of courage. His years ago involvement in the house church movement, an act of courage. I mean, we're talking about one of the most courageous Christians that we have ever encountered. And really, you know, there is something about the darkness of Iran that is raising up some amazing Christian men. Pastor Yusuf and the way he responded to his imprisonment and his death sentence was nothing short of astounding. And, you know, I think that we American Christians can take a look at this and really can place a lot of our own lives into perspective. And
I want you to hear this prayer, folks, from Pastor Bill Haynes, one of our producers, his dad. He used to work with us and is a close advisor to the ACLJ. He had this prayer for Pastor Saeed at his church. Will sent it over to me, and I wanted to play it for you right now.
Let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence this morning in the comfort of these chairs, in the controlled heat of the environment that we are in. We bow in your presence, O Lord, in our fine clothes, and Lord, we freely come, and we will freely go home, and we'll do all that we do this afternoon, and many of us will come back tonight freely to worship again. And Lord, we take that for granted, that in many parts of the world today, not just in Iran, but in other Mideastern countries, other predominantly Muslim countries, churches are meeting in secret right now for fear of their lives. Churches are being burned down right now because of the simple truth that they proclaim Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. Lord, they are taking the gospel to places where, quite honestly, most of us couldn't handle it. Lord, we pray for them this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit will empower them. And even as we are here in our comfort, Lord, that we will not forget our brothers and our sisters who are suffering because of the gospel, suffering for the sake of the gospel, suffering for the sake of Christ. Lord, give them strength to not deny. Give them boldness to speak, even in the face of beatings and other cruelties. Father, just glorify yourself through their lives. We pray especially for Pastor Saeed this morning. Pray, Lord, that we would ask you to bring him back to his wife and children here in the States that he hadn't seen for a year. Father, even more than that, we pray that the glory of the gospel would be seen in that the stench of Evan prison there in Tehran. Father, that in the horrors of that place, even as we read in our call to worship, the light of Christ, the light that you shine in Christ would blaze through Pastor Saeed's life.
Folks, that's Pastor Bill Haynes, and amazing prayers. Will, his son, who's one of our producers, send it over to me. I want you to take a stand for Pastor Saeed, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We'll be back.
The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured,
and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. We're standing with Pastor Saeed today, and if you haven't done it, you need to join us. Call now, 877-989-2255. But there are other issues that we're working on here in Washington, D.C. Jay was able to go on Sean Hannity's TV broadcast on Friday night. He was on with Dennis Kucinich talking about these looming sequester cuts, the cuts that, frankly, folks, are probably needed but impact the defense side of the budget even more, out of proportion with the rest of the budget. Very important issue. I want to play for you now this interview. Again, this is Jay on with Dennis Kucinich on Sean Hannity's TV broadcast.
July 2011, with budget and debt ceiling negotiations stalled, leaders from both parties try to force a compromise. Now, Bob Woodward's book, The Price of Politics, details a White House idea to guarantee that their plan would lead to results down the road. At 2:30 p.m., Jack Lew and Rob Neighbors went to the Senate to meet with Harry Reid and his chief of staff, David Crone. We have an idea for a trigger, Lew said. What's the idea? Reid asked skeptically. Sequestration. That's the beauty of the sequester, they said. It's so ridiculous that no one ever wants it to happen. It was a bomb that no one wanted to drop. It actually would be an action-forcing event.
We're going to be able to come to some agreement with the White House and end this impasse.
We've been willing to say that there could be a sequestration as long as it included some revenue.
Now, the automatic cuts would slash both defense and domestic spending. Both sides claim victory.
Well, I got 98% of what I wanted. I'm pretty happy.
Have a seat, have a seat. Leaders of both parties in both chambers have reached an agreement. It establishes a bipartisan committee of Congress to report back by November. Tough cuts that both parties would find objectionable would automatically go into effect if we don't act.
One of the great national security threats is the dysfunctionality of the Congress.
November 2011, as the Thanksgiving deadline looms, President Obama heads to Hawaii.
My hope is that over the next several days, the congressional leadership on the super committee, go ahead and bite the bullet and do what needs to be done.
But the super committee collapses.
The fact of the matter is, Democrats have not coalesced around a plan.
Thanksgiving comes and goes and no deal is reached. February 2012, Republican senators proposed alternative cuts to prevent the sequester from slashing defense. Democrats say no way.
Some members of Congress promised to their constituents, we're holding our own feet to the fire.
my fellow Americans, and then a few months later decide, we didn't really mean it, let's change that. That's not how it works.
They should keep their word.
Suddenly, no one wants to take credit for the sequester.
The sequester is not something that I proposed, it's something that Congress has proposed. It will not happen.
But as the March 1st deadline grows closer, everyone tries to get farther and farther away from blame.
The sequester was the president's idea. His party needs to follow through.
Sequestration is a Republican policy, and it is a bad policy.
Put this to rest. Whose idea was the sequester?
First of all, it was the White House.
But let's be clear. Republicans embraced it. Every member of the House Republican leadership voted for it.
The president's part of the sequester. The White House recommended it, frankly.
I don't know why it is in this town folks leave stuff till the last minute.
And joining us now, Jay Sekulow from the American Center for Law and Justice and former Ohio Democratic Congressman, Fox News contributor Dennis Kucinich. Guys, welcome back to the program. Both of you, good to see you.
Thanks, Sean. Good to see you.
Sean, thank you.
You know, it matters who did in terms of putting this idea forward. Dennis Kucinich, it does matter, doesn't it? Because this was the president's idea. That shouldn't be in dispute. And now he's saying all these horrible things about it. It's a little ironic, a little hypocritical for him to go out there and demagogue what he himself proposed, isn't it?
I think the White House never expected that the sequestration would actually happen. I thought that they looked at it as a negotiating strategy. But what you have on your earlier report is absolutely right. I mean, this idea started with the White House. They took it to the Democratic leadership in the Senate. The leaders in both the Democrat and Republican Party in the House and the Senate signed on to this. The president signed the bill into law, which set up the super committee and also set in motion a process that if the super committee failed, we go to sequestration.
Yeah, but wasn't it more of an election strategy, though? The president did this because he wanted to get reelected, didn't want to have to face raising the debt ceiling again. Isn't that really the cause of this?
You know, what causes me to answer your question, yes, is this. You look at the exchange between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney on the August 22nd, 2012 debate, where President Obama disclaimed any involvement in the sequester. So at some point, they decided they had to get away from the sequester. It was an election issue.
I mean,
and now
that,
they're stuck with it. Now we're all stuck with it.
Isn't that a lie? I mean, can't we call things what they are? That seemed to be a bald-faced lie. Jay?
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, this was the president. The president owns this. He owns sequester. But, John, I think there's another point here that has to be made. You know, some have said that this is a manufactured crisis. This is a faux crisis. This isn't a real crisis. These sequestered cuts are not going to end our republic as we know it, number one. Number two, the president, as you said, owns this. It was his idea. He thought it would never happen. Well, guess what? He gets a revenue increase. He doesn't want to make cuts. Now it's happening. So it's his own poison pill that he's being forced to swallow here. And it's going to be very interesting to see how they try to, you know, they're trying to put this off on the Republicans now. But that is not going to work. No one's going to buy that.
All right. Everybody, I think, in this audience is sophisticated enough, Congressman, to know what baseline budgeting is, where government projects these massive increases every year. We're borrowing over $1 trillion a year, 46 cents of every dollar we're borrowing. This year's budget, with all the president and his demagoguing and doom and gloom and his predictions, we're going to spend more money this year than we spent last year. And he acts as though this is a Mayan apocalypse, that the book of Revelation is the seals have been opened and the hell and fury of the final days is upon us. That just cannot be true. Why does he do this?
Well, Sean, when things get down to partisan politics and where truth becomes the parcel of one party or the other party, we got a problem. And that's where we're at with this sequester. The bigger question is, what are we going to do about our country? How are we going to get the economy going? How do we get people back to work? How do we get small businesses moving again? There are larger questions that are totally being ignored in this. And you know what I find astonishing, Sean, is that at this very time that we're concerned about how we're spending money and we're concerned about the defense budget, we're getting ready to send 4,000 U.S. troops to 35 different countries in Africa to start to get involved there. And we can't even take care of things here at home. We're going to start telling people in Africa how to run their affairs.
I don't get Washington math, Jay Sekulow. And I think everything should be measured through this prism. Is it worth breaking open our children's piggy bank? Because that's the president's basically, This is a generational theft. He's stealing from our kids. So if we can't cut $85 billion out of $3.8 trillion that we're spending, this is a lost cause. We'll never balance the budget.
Well, that's why I keep... Yeah, that's why I keep saying, and I think Dennis agrees with this, I mean, this is a, in one sense, this is not a manufactured crisis. Again, it is a fake crisis. It's a faux crisis. This isn't going to change anything if the sequester was to go into effect. But what has to be reiterated here is the politics of Washington have done this, and it's the president who initiated this. This was the president's idea. This was his staff's idea. By the way, now there's going to be the Secretary of Treasury. Sean. This was their idea to put this in place, and they're really having to deal with it.
Well, Jay and Sean, I want to make, you know, I agree with you, Jay, in saying this is, you know, manufactured or a faux crisis. But the fact of the matter is, there will be consequences that are going to be made based on the decisions when they start talking about cutting, and that will precipitate some real crises. We don't know how this is going to end. It may start as a farce, but it could end as a tragedy.
You know, you're pointing out something, Congressman, that few Democrats seem to be willing to point out, that we keep accumulating this debt. Eventually, the markets are going to say, we don't really trust lending you money anymore. And there's only so much the Federal Reserve can do. Frankly, they've done enough damage as it is. And does Amen. America then begin the spiral down towards Greece? Where my fear is one day these cuts will come, but they will be imposed on us, just like Greece, just like Spain, like Italy and Portugal.
Look, we're the United States of America. We're not going to accept that kind of an austerity program. We're not going to go down the tubes. We've got to fight back. But we need Congress to work together and the president to work with the Congress. And this, all this partisan skirmishing
right now,
doesn't serve
the interest of America. How can you work with a man that says you want to poison the air and water? How do you work with somebody like that?
Look, this is what happens.
They don't want it to happen. I mean, the reality is.
Wait a minute. Hold it. This is what happens when partisanship runs amok. I mean, cooler heads will prevail at some point, and you shouldn't be attacking people who you're going to end up having to work with. This is a fundamental flaw in the approach that's being used.
And the president's as guilty as anybody,
Jack. But that's the politics of this. Yeah, but that's the politics of it. The reality is this. Ask yourself this question. It's what I'm asking myself. We've got this real serious fiscal crisis in this country, no doubt about it. Dennis just said it. We all agree. So why, ask yourselves this, and you've been covering this, Sean, why are we sending F-16s that we're borrowing money from the Chinese to go give money to the Muslim Brotherhood government, including F-16s, 20 F-16s, and 200 tanks?
Hello.
Ask yourself, why are we doing this? And that kind of fiscal spending is out of control, and that what comes to roost on us and our children and our grandchildren.
Well,
we've got to be
really
concerned about where this goes.
Folks, obviously a lot of issues to keep up with there. That was, again, Jay talking about the looming sequester cuts. But listen, today we've got to focus on Pastor Saeed. He's still languishing in Naveen prison. We've got to stand with him. If you have not yet signed the petition, you can do it at savesaeed.org, or you can call now at 877-989-2255. We don't have a day to waste. Here we go. 877-989-2255. Stand with Pastor Saeed.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you.
There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Listen, I want to quickly play for you in this segment of the broadcast a segment that aired on Megyn Kelly on Fox News TV yesterday, and I wanted you to have a chance to listen to this interview. Jordan does a great job talking about the current gun debate, specifically how it's going to apply to the states, how the concealed carry permits may be applied differently in various states depending on what the Supreme Court does. But again, this is Jordan Sekulow on with Megyn Kelly and Julian Epstein yesterday on Fox TV.
Joining me now, two constitutional scholars, Julian Epstein, former chief counsel for the House Judiciary Committee and former staff director for the House Government Reform Committee, and Jordan Sekulow, executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice. And you are not confused. He is a Sekulow, as in Jay Sekulow, his dad, who is not available today, but we love having Jordan too. Diaposing, that's not a word. I don't know why. Diaposing?
Diametrically opposing.
Diametrically opposing. Thank you. I just condensed. Thank you, Julian.
Okay. You got a busy day.
So now we have the Seventh Circuit, which, you know, tends to be a little bit more liberal than the Tenth Circuit, right? The Seventh Circuit says you do have a constitutional right to concealed carry, and the Tenth Circuit, in this case that arose out of Colorado, says no, you don't. So let me start with you, Julian. This is likely to go to the Supreme Court, and what do you think is likely to happen?
I think it is likely to go to the Supreme Court. I think the Seventh Circuit was more inferential. It suggested that there was a right to self-defense outside the home, not necessarily concealed carry. I think the Tenth Circuit was much more in line with what the Supreme Court said in the 2008 Heller case. In that case, the court said that the Second Amendment is a very limited individual right. It protects only it only dealt with the protection of a handgun inside the home. And in fact, the court said that nothing in the case, and this is almost a direct quote, nothing in the case calls into question longstanding prohibitions that have been in place. And one of the prohibitions that the court cited, this was the majority opinion, was concealed weapons. So I think the likely ability of states to have very strict regulations or even prohibitions on concealed weapons is likely to be upheld by the Supreme Court.
Jordan, I credit Julian because he got the quote from the U.S. Supreme Court's opinion in Heller almost exactly right. This is not the Tenth Circuit or the Seventh Circuit. This is the U.S. Supreme Court a couple years ago in Heller. They say the majority of the 19th century courts to consider the question held that prohibitions on carrying concealed weapons were lawful under the Second Amendment or otherwise. They say nothing in our opinion should be taken to cast doubt on those long-standing prohibitions. I mean, that should have some concealed carry advocates a little concerned.
Sure, I mean, now it wasn't an issue. I mean, that was dicta in the case. It wasn't exactly something that you could hold as that this was the purpose of Heller or McDonald, for that matter. And you look at the Tenth Circuit first. Let's look there. All this case was about is, can someone who isn't a citizen of Colorado get a concealed carry permit? Not whether there is concealed carry permits available to the citizens or to people who have a permit in another state that has reciprocity, which is the kind of typical line with most states, Virginia, others. You may have a license they grant reciprocity with, you may not. And then in Illinois, there was a complete ban. And what the court said there in the Seventh Circuit was that we're not going to completely ban this. Now, they didn't say necessarily that we're going to allow people from Ohio to get concealed carry.
So you're saying when you
here.
Look at the facts, the Illinois decision is much more akin to sort of the broad question of whether there's a constitutional right to concealed carry.
And the debate
Colorado
is over
case.
How far it goes. I mean, how far does that? That's really what we're debating here, is how much of a right? Is it a Second Amendment right? Should it be left up to the states? And then, of course, there's open carry. What does the word bear mean in the Second Amendment? But to look at these cases and say that the Tenth Circuit was trying to restrict it all, I mean, this was about whether or not you have a right without the permit that has reciprocity and you're not a citizen. And if the court wants to look into that, that'd be one thing. The Seventh Circuit looking into it would be the broader question is, what does it mean? We've said you can keep arms. Now, how far do we go when we say you can bear
them? Well, that's what the Illinois court came out and said. Look, it would be to speak of bearing arms within your home, if that's what they meant, you have the right to bear arms within your home and only within your home, not to take concealed carry outside of your home, they say would have been an awkward usage of that phrase. And that's why they said a right to bear arms implies a right to carry a loaded gun outside of the home.
That's right. That's what the inference, I think, is in the Seventh Circuit court, where it says that the right to self-defense is a right that extends outside the home. That is very much up in the question, particularly given, I think Jordan's right, what happened in the Heller case is it was dicta, but the court was very, very clear that it was saying that nothing cast out on prohibitions like concealed carry prohibitions. I don't know how much more clear that you can be.
And let me just jump in quickly.
The Second Amendment, in many ways,
is it's not the law of the case.
Is language. It's
sort of
language.
Like over here, we just wanted to add this.
Yeah, but when the court was rarely gets in and makes such a declaratory kind of judgment like that, and it was pretty declaratory there. And so, I mean, it's very much like the Fourth Amendment. You have a right to privacy, the Fourth Amendment, that's much stronger inside the home. Once you get outside the home, it's much less strong and it's much easier to regulate under the
I think Julian would agree, and Megan also. It's a right that needs to be, it's almost customizable. I mean, there is a general principle which the court may have to decide, but then it's how it applies for each state is going to have to be different for, you know, Washington, D.C. or Virginia than Maryland and Chicago and Illinois.
But do you think that there
Colorado.
Is a likelihood? I mean, is it possible in your mind, Jordan, that we could wind up with a Supreme Court ruling that says there is no constitutional right to concealed carry, and the 8 million Americans who now have that right could potentially lose it?
I don't think the Supreme Court would ban concealed carry. I'm not sure they would necessarily say that there is a constitutional right in the Second Amendment that you have to allow a specific kind of carry when you talk about the word bear. For instance, is a court going to say a state that allows open carry of your firearm, do you have to allow a concealed permit weapon? Do you have to allow people from other states? I think it's going to be more narrow and
but it's one of those things. It's one of those things, Julian, where if the Supreme Court agrees that there's no constitutional right allowing you to concealed
doesn't
carry,
mean everybody loses
then
it.
You start to see more and more states pass bans on concealed carry and sort of err on the side of restricting that right.
Many states don't have concealed carry, and so what the Supreme Court would be saying, if it says that concealed weapons can be regulated, which is, I think, exactly where the Supreme Court will be, is that it's up to the states, which, by the way, is a traditionally conservative view to let these matters be left up to the states. So
That's
I think
true.
What it says is it'll be left up to the states. But I think, again, if you go to what the Supreme Court said earlier, when it cited the concealed weapons, it said if there's a sound basis for regulation, and if you look at the data on this, if you look at places like New York where there are strong concealed weapons laws, where crimes have gone down, places like Flint, Michigan, where they've just liberalized and crimes have gone up. If you look at all the data that shows that handguns are used in the number of justifiable homicides, according to the FBI last year, was about 200. We had 10,000 criminal homicides with guns last year. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, guns are used 10 times more frequently
to commit a crime
than they are. Than they are.
So, I mean,
let me just finish the point.
Just let him finish that last sentence,
and
then I'll give you the floor, Jordan.
Let me finish the point. Guns are used 10 times more frequently to commit a crime than they are used to prevent a crime. I think the Supreme Court is going to say there's ample rational basis to regulate things like concealed weapons. So I think it's on pretty strong grounds.
I'll give you the last word, Jordan.
Well, and Megan, there are states, too, that have exceptions for keeping one in your glove compartment of your car, but you may not have to have a concealed permit and how you have to keep it in your car. And I think the Supreme Court, like Julian said, I don't disagree so much with that, that this is more of a state's issue of, okay, here's the Second Amendment. This is the broad powers under, this is how we define the rights, and then you interpret that and apply it to your state.
I have to tell you, this has been a very difficult segment for me because we've got Jay, and we've got Jordan, and then the ghost of Jay. I mean, we've got Julian, we've got Jordan, we've got the ghost of Jay Sekulow lurking. There's all these Jays, and I'm getting a little confused.
Even more complicated, as the apple clearly doesn't fall far from the tree in the case of the Sekulows.
It was easy for you, Julian. All right, guys, thank you. Great debate.
Again, folks, that was Jordan on yesterday with Megyn Kelly and Julian Epstein talking about the guns issue. But listen, today we are continuing to engage for Pastor Saeed. You know, we got this letter just last week from Evin Prison from Pastor Saeed. The prison is termed hell on earth. Folks, this reads like Ephesians. This is a call to come to the aid of a modern-day Paul. Call now, 877-989-2255. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.